Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action Podcast, episode 10. We made it to 10, buddy.
Double digits.
Woohoo! This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
This is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
You can follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So let's start off with the big disappointment of the weekend. There were a lot of bad picks made, at least in the NFL, but the Shockers, man, that was a heartbreaker on Saturday. What happened?
Yeah, there was a few picks in that game, too. They went the wrong way in the first half. We just didn't show up. I think that we overlooked our opponents.
We were down 26 to nothing, then 33 to 6, and we made a roaring comeback. We ended up losing 33-31. Oh, man, that was a rough. I know that the bettors out there that bet on us, we're going to apologize in person.
Yeah, I think the opponents, I don't even recall their names. They were
running gun.
They were probably 600 on the money line, and they cashed. My God.
They cashed. So our season's over. We will not face Shark Attack this week. We will hopefully go to the bar and celebrate the season and just watch some college football.
Good news is there's a lot of good college football games on this weekend, so it's kind of a win-win. So
absolutely. We can have some good times over Rinaldi's or wherever and, you know, forget about the being sore the next day. So. Also, a big weekend activity was the haunted housewarming party. Big success at the Wegs home.
Yeah, we were able to drink away our sorrows after the game in costume. I know that you had a costume.
Yeah, Don Draper. Went for the Mad Men theme, going for a 60s vibe in there. But we did have a visit from the Duffel Bag Boy, at least our version of the Duffel Bag Boy. That was your costume.
Yeah, Duffel Bag Better showed up all the way from Las Vegas, fresh off of a big weekend of losses.
Yeah, man, it was a great costume. We do have a picture up on Facebook for that. And I think it was about 40, 42 people showed up.
Wow.
It was a great party and not too bad a cleanup. Had to have tons of booze still left over, so I'm going to have another party.
I'm up for that.
So, yeah, talking about the Duffel Bag Boy, or better, as you refer to him on VEASAN, they call him Duffel Bag Boy. Man, he put down a $120,000 bet on Purdue to cover against Michigan State.
Ouch.
Didn't quite work out so good. I heard he also bought up the line to plus a half a point in the game. I'm not sure why he did that.
Yeah, I can't understand why he would do that either. As we were talking earlier, it's impossible to tie in college. So buying half a point to plus one half really gets you nothing. Just a higher vig that you're paying the book.
Yeah, it's incredible. But he's been up for the most part. He's very consistent with his bets. He was all over Purdue this weekend. And of course, you know, they didn't come through for me or for Duffel Bag Boy.
Well, he should listen to the podcast because I think one of us was on Michigan State.
I think that was you. The other thing I heard on VSiN this week was the NHL. Gary Bettman, the commissioner, has signed a big deal with MGM being an official betting partner following the NBA. So unlike baseball that will not get anywhere near gambling and the NFL at this point, NHL is embracing him with open arms.
Yeah, I think this was big news just because only a few years ago, Gary Bettman was so against gambling and how it related to the NHL and professional sports in general. And the other thing that I picked out of the article too, which was a little bit different than the NBA, they're calling this an official betting agreement, where the NBA terms it an official gaming agreement.
Oh,
so slight alteration in the agreement per se, but big news all around. I'm just wondering when Caesars or William Hill is going to get on the action.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's great about it is, you know, at least on VSiN, they always talk about NHL lines and goal scores and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely integrated, and I think you'll probably see more of the integration into the experience in the NFL, which is something we talked about that's going to happen, you know, around. So if you're going to be at stadiums, especially in Vegas, you're going to be able to see the line live and maybe even make bets there. Who knows?
Maybe someday I'll be able to walk down the street and make a bet at the United Center during a Hawks game.
That's right. We can do that. Hopefully soon. All right. Well, let's go over this week's activities. We've got the head-to-head. We'll review that. You know, there's a little bit of a comeback on my part, slightly. We'll talk about the NFL, takeaways from week 8. Then we'll talk about college football. I have a personal question related to the duffel bag for the mailbag. But we'll talk about college football the last week and the look ahead for week 10. We got some big games. And then, of course, we'll circle back to our picks in college. And then the BCS standings just came out, so we'll have to review that. In the pros, we'll go jump back to the NFL, look at some statistics, some notable injuries and trades, and then talk about our situational spots. Finally, we'll go head-to-head on our picks for this week for college and pro. And we'll have a little bit of time to talk about both the Breeders' Cup and with the news in the NFL with the Browns, some coaches' futures. So, and then lastly, it looks like you have some information on the MLS playoff odds.
Yep, that starts here this week, MLS Cup.
Awesome. Well, we got a full show ahead, so let's barrel ahead. First, let's review the head-to-head, and it was kind of an interesting week because it's almost like role reversal, at least from the beginning of our season. We started off with your Purdue Boilermakers, who boiled it up against Ohio State. They were at Michigan State. We graded it at 2.5 favorites for Michigan State, and the total was 51. Well, Steve, you went against your Boilers, and it worked out.
Yeah, Michigan State's defense really held the Boilers in check, only totaling 340 yards of offense. And there were two big turnovers in the second half there that helped the Spartans to victory. Mm-hmm. I was certainly disappointed, but happy to pick up a victory in the head-to-head.
That's right, creeping closer. And then the other big game that we talked about, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Florida versus Georgia in Jacksonville. Georgia was a 6.5-point favorite. Total was 52. And this wasn't even close either. Looks like Georgia took them to the woodshed there.
Yeah, the final score was 36-17. And it was really an odd game because it was fairly close on the scoreboard for mm-hmm. most of it. Even though Georgia really crushed them in the numbers, they had a 6.6 yards per play. And Florida had three turnovers in the game, which were key. Georgia had 9 scoring opportunities, but only were able to muster a few scoring drives. It was hard to cover for the Gators there.
Yeah, that was a tough game. And early it was close, but Georgia just was the better team, and they looked better overall. So you got another one on me. But at least we flipped the page the next day, the NFL. I bounced back. I bounced back big time. I went Seattle at Detroit. I was getting 3 points with Seattle. The total was 49.5. I actually ended up betting this one on the money line, so I won that bet. And Seattle, they really took control. They won 28-14. There was a chance for Detroit to score late, but they still wouldn't have come back all the way. And they, as you noted, they held Kerryon Johnson to just 20 yards on 8 carries, so it was kind of an inverse for the week before.
Yeah, I think you absolutely nailed that handicap, and I was thankful to have followed you in real life on that one. The Seahawks ran the ball like you expected they would, yeah. And I think even more impressive was their defense, the way they limited the Lions' strong running game to limited carries and yards there.
Yeah, a little preview to the NFL index I do. They're still number 5 in the index because of that defense, so... The last game was the Indianapolis Colts were actually 3-point favorites at Oakland. That line actually kept going up. Total was 50. We talked about it. I thought Oakland was a dumpster fire, and it kind of proved true. Andrew Luck was very efficient. He's actually hasn't been throwing as – he didn't throw as much in this game, but he had 3 touchdowns just to the tight ends, much to my chagrin in fantasy, by the way. And then that key fumble that you noted by Doug Martin kind of did the Raiders in.
Yeah, the Colts running game was really impressive over the weekend. Second straight game where they've tallied over 200 yards. And Marlon Mack is really looking strong there. 100-yard rushing game again, another career best for him. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, though, we talked about Oakland kind of rolling over, but I did notice that they played hard on Sunday. And for the most part of that game, they were leading. And actually, I thought they were going to come home with the victory, but Indianapolis really showed them up in the fourth quarter. And I'll be looking at this Oakland team to continue playing hard under Gruden. I don't think they're going to roll over like a lot of people expect them to.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Colts had to score 21 points in the fourth quarter, I believe, to win that game. They were trailing. It's kind of been Oakland's story all year. They've been leading in the second half in almost every game. It just seems like they don't have anybody to rush the passer.
Well, when your average age is 30, 31 compared to most teams, which are in their mid-20s, it certainly makes a difference in conditioning.
Yeah, that seems to be showing up on the field. So let's take a look at the takeaways from the NFL this week. We had a great game between the Packers and the Rams. That was probably the best game, I would say, over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Man, what I was going to talk about is there was so much action, and we talked about it last week that 9.5 was a big number for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this guy is as bad as the Packers can be sometimes on defense. He just brings them back. And they actually were leading a lot of this game. The Rams took that lead late, and they had a chance to maybe win the game, but Ty Montgomery inexplicably takes out the kickoff return. I was telling you before the pod, I heard the story that he kind of was told to kneel down on that kickoff, took it out anyway, fumbles, and then basically gave the chance to win that game back over to the Rams. You know, they win the game.
Yeah, and it goes to show that no bet is safe. I don't know if you noticed on Sunday, but the Packers line ticked down to 8 or 7, 7.5, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I'm sure a lot of people were on the Rams 7.5. I know because I heard them cheering in the bar for Todd Gurley to go in and score on that final play of the game. And the thing that I took away from that I wanted to share with the listeners is that even though you think you've got a slam dunk with the Packers and watching that game, they were 90% to cover the whole game, probably.
Right.
You still can lose that bet if Todd Gurley goes into the end zone there at the end. So it just goes to show how hard this gambling thing is, and nothing is a sure thing.
No doubt. No doubt. I did also hear on VSiN that some guy, because of that guy, that Gurley not going in to score, he won his parlay ticket of $612,000.
Wow.
He would have lost mega money if the guy scored. So. That's like you said, just on a razor blade.
And I thought it was great to hear Gurley's comments after the game where he said, screw fantasy, screw Vegas, we won the game, and that was the right play.
A win's a win, right?
That was great.
That's awesome. Another one that was similar, but the other way, where the Bengals were up by big points against the Bucs, and then they finally made the switch to Jameis Winston, who threw 4 picks. And they put in Fitzmagic, and he brought them all the way back to tie the game.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was on the Bucs, as we talked about last week, plus 4.5, and I was cursing throughout the first 3 quarters of that game at Jameis Winston. Every time I looked up, he was throwing another interception.
Yep.
And the Bengals were up 3.5 touchdowns, and in comes Fitzmagic. And I tell you what, I think he's still going to be throwing touchdowns at 50.
He does. The beard. He's got to keep the beard. He's actually been named the starter this week officially, so they've probably made the right decision. Those guys are playing for their jobs. So,
yeah,
they basically got the backdoor cover there. A lot of Bengals fans that thought their ticket was already cashed on that one.
The one thing I wanted to mention there, even though the Buccaneers obviously came back and covered that, I think it's a real indictment on the Bengals that they couldn't win that game and cover by more after getting 4 interceptions in the first half. I think you honestly have to downgrade them again, even after the victory.
Yeah, they're, as we talked about before, I think they're 5-3 now. They are definitely not a good team, but they're winning games and they're playing. They have a favorable schedule. So, yeah, going forward, go against those Bengals. All right. Well, I wanted to point out the Saints game. This is a game you were on, the Saints against Minnesota. They went up to Minnesota. They did get the win. But, I mean, I'm telling you, they had a chance early. Minnesota was going in. They could have gone up maybe 20-10 or something. But Thielen has this big fumble that gets returned back. And in the second half, the Saints kind of, they shut the door on that offense big time.
Yeah, they were running the ball all over the place. Drew Brees only threw for 120 yards in this game.
Yep.
And it was really kind of a bizarre game. Like you mentioned, that play at the end of the first half really turned it on its head and gave the Saints the momentum.
It did.
Taysom Hill is back in there throwing longer passes. And I just can't understand this experiment. I think that Sean Payton is kind of outsmarting himself with that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's getting away with it because the team's so good, but just let Brees throw the ball. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
The other thing I want to note from this game that at least I noted, especially with fantasy stuff, is that trade for Eli Apple, I don't know, we'll see if it works out, but they were picking on him all day. Diggs had a huge day on him. Mm-hmm. I saw 2 PIs on one drive. I mean, Eli Apple will be targeted on that defense, so we'll see if that trade really will work out. The other thing I noted this week is the Chiefs finally didn't cover this week.
Yeah, the Broncos seem to have their number, at least playing them close. And they kept that one close within a score throughout the entire contest and ended up only losing by 7 and covering that 10 easily.
That's right. That's right. The last note from the NFL was last night. We just mentioned it for yourself. The Bills did everything they could to give the bettors fits. They had a chance. They actually had a touchdown taken off the board on a review that I think would have cut the game to maybe a 6-point game at that point. But then 2 plays later, Derek Anderson throws a pick 6, and then it's 25-6, which is a cover. And then, as you noted, he got knocked out of the game late. when they had a chance to come back and get within that 14 number or 13 and a half, whatever the number was.
I think they call that a Peterman, right? game ceiling pick six to crush all bettors' hopes.
Yeah, well, you'll be happy to know that Peterman will be starting against the Bears this week in Buffalo.
That should be interesting.
All right, well, let's go to our mailbag, and this is my question. So I was trying to figure out, first of all, with the duffel bag boy and him basically buying half a point, what does that typically cost to do that?
Yeah, the cost at most book, it obviously depends on your book, but most places offshore at least will charge you about 10 cents to buy half a point.
Okay.
So, and that means on the VIG.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at a line that's minus 110, say an underdog is 2.5 and you want to buy half a point up to 3
mm-hmm.
to get yourself that full field goal, it's going to cost you an extra 10 cents. So you'd have to lay minus 120
right.
instead of minus 110 to get that up to that field goal.
Okay. And so it's just advantageous to get over a key number if it's 3 to 3.5 or something like that in football.
Yeah, I would probably stay away from buying up to 3.5 because it really doesn't get you that much extra value, especially for laying that 10 cents. It's a lot harder to be profitable over the long term if you're consistently laying minus 120 or minus 125 versus 110 or 105.
Yeah, you've noted that on other podcasts, and I think that's true. I've been personally, I've been trying to do that in my bets to try to stay away from that extra VIG because, as you said, your percentage has to go way up, you know, if you're going to bet that way. All right. Well, fair. Thank you for that answer, actually.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to college football. First of all, the Side Action Podcast had a great day last Saturday.
Yeah, we crushed it with all those picks. I think we tallied the numbers late Saturday night and ended up going 7-1 on our handouts here.
Definitely one of our best weeks, and hopefully we can continue to give you guys good picks. And we kind of feel like we're getting a handle on some of these college teams. Let's start off with Kentucky. Kentucky, basically, you know, they've been one of the teams I've been eyeing. I really like this team. They play almost like an NFL-style team mm-hmm. or old-school NFL. They run the ball, play good defense, but they had to really pull it out in the fourth quarter to beat Mizzou 15-14.
Yeah, I was on Kentucky, and I got to be honest, I think it was kind of a miraculous cover. Mm-hmm. I was watching that game before I went to the haunted housewarming, and they were down 14-3 late in the fourth quarter, really mm-hmm. had done nothing on offense all game
right.
before a punt return touchdown made it 14-9 after a failed two-point conversion.
Right.
And then Kentucky got the ball back again late and went 81 yards with a PI at the end with 0 seconds left on the clock
wow.
and scored a game-winning touchdown for the walk-off win.
That is awesome. That's quite a cover. I definitely think that sounds like they got lucky. I just looked at the result, so I'm happy for the Cats.
Yeah, that sets up a huge match this weekend against Georgia that we'll be talking about later.
Exactly. That's the SEC East right there. So another big game that we bet on, actually, we went head-to-head with the Penn State. Or no, we didn't. Actually, I bet on it. We can talk about this. I bet actually on this game. This is Penn State. They beat Iowa at home 30-26. I unfortunately got the number 5.5, but you got it at 6.5, like we discussed in the pod.
Yeah, we've talked about it previously, but it's always important to get the best of the number and another reason to be looking at these game lines early in the week.
That's right.
This one did bounce around quite a bit last week, if I recall, up and down from 6.5 down to 4.5 even at some points throughout the week. So Iowa held tough and scored twice on safeties, recovered 4 fumbles in the game,
wow.
and scored on a fourth quarter pick six, and still somehow lost.
That's
so
incredible.
Very hard to do, but lucky they were able to cover the 6 for me.
Good for you. Good for you. Bad for me, but good for you. And then as we talked about on the pod, Oklahoma State, they had kind of lost their shine a little bit. They had lost some tough games, especially at home. But they came through beating number 6 Texas at home 38-35. As we talked about, Tom Herman and the gang, they're not good favorites.
No, they cannot cover as favorites. And again, they lose as a favorite in this game.
Yeah, I think that obviously they were kind of primed to maybe compete for the BCS standings, but not anymore.
Knocked out officially.
We also like Washington State going to Stanford, even though that was a potential letdown game. And they came through with us again, 41-38. They were getting points in that game. Very similar profiles, but hey, they came through and made the win for us.
Yeah, it looked like it was a very even affair, but Gardner Minshew had some fourth quarter magic, two late touchdowns, and then a field goal at the end that sealed the victory.
Yeah, the Cougs are really in position to win the Pac-12. I mean, they have, you know, more tough games ahead, but for the most part, I think they've gone through the toughest part of their schedule. So I like them to win the Pac-12.
Yeah, interesting. That may set up a classic Rose Bowl matchup of Washington State versus Northwestern.
Ooh, we can't wait for that one. Well, anyway, let's look at the notable S&P moves this week. Utah State, it's a Side Action podcast darling. They're back up 9 spots to number 21. We like that team, the Aggies. Mm-hmm. Michigan State, they went up 9 spots with the big win. They went up to number 33. Fresno State still sits at 9 after another impressive victory over Hawaii. And then the top 5.
Yeah, the top 5, S&P, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Michigan, and Georgia, followed by Notre Dame, Washington, and Ohio State. A little bit different than that college football playoff ranking that just came out this evening.
Yeah, we'll look at that. It's definitely different. We also note that Washington's way up there, but this team keeps losing, and they lost again this week. So they're playing good football in the metrics, but they can't get the wins on the field. We'll see how that shakes out. So what spots do you like this week, Action, for Week 10?
Well, there are certainly a lot of marquee matchups this week, but as you can see here on my list, I've picked a lot of obscure ones.
You always do.
The first one here is a battle of two of our service academies, Air Force and Army, and I'm targeting the under in this game. Right now, it sits at 44.5, and for good reason. Both of these teams run the ball a ridiculous amount, almost 80% for Air Force and 90% for Army, which means that clock is going to tick, 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 tick.
That's right.
And under 44.5 is easy play. I'm going under there.
Yeah, Army's been an underplay even when they play the big boys. So if they're playing the other service academy, which they're all going to do that now, I agree with you. That's a good pick. And your next one?
The next one I picked out is another service academy against them. Cincinnati is playing at home to Navy, and Navy runs the ball equally as much as the other two at 83% of the time. But looking at the metrics, Cincinnati has the 7th ranked rushing defense. So I'm expecting that Cincinnati will be able to hold their own and keep them very low scoring. And S&P Plus has this game closer to an 18-point margin. And right now the spread is Cincinnati minus 13.5, and I'll take the Bearcats.
Yeah, I like that. The Bearcats are actually a pretty good football team. They've been flirting with the top 25 here and there. They're a good team, so I like that pick too. All right, your next one, Eastern Michigan versus Central Michigan. Look at this guy. He loves the MAC.
Yeah, a little bit of MAC-tion this week. Eastern Michigan and the in-state matchup, and they hold a significant edge on the defensive side of the ball. Central Michigan is dead last in offensive S&P+, and the expected margin in this one is 17. So, again, similar handicap here. I'll be taking Eastern Michigan under 2 touchdowns.
Hey, keep it rolling. You're making these picks. I like them. Nebraska. So Nebraska's 18.5-point dogs at Ohio State. Ohio State is coming off of the big loss at Purdue. They've had the bye. I actually heard on the radio coming in that Urban Meyer has some sort of, I don't know if it's a tumor or something like that.
Really?
Or a cyst. It's a brain cyst is what I heard. So maybe his health is in jeopardy a little bit. You had this at 18.5, but you said that this line was actually higher earlier in the day.
Yeah, on Sunday, this one opened up at 22.5, and I was very surprised to see Nebraska getting that many points and jumped all over it. But I still think there's value here at 18.5. Something's not quite right with this Buckeye team.
Right.
Their defense does not look good, and actually they're ranked 126th in allowed explosiveness right now. And Martinez is getting healthier, and this Nebraska team can get some explosive plays. And I think that they should easily be able to keep this within the number.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm not going to bet on that game. I think the Ohio State probably will bounce back, but that is a lot of points to cover, especially with that defense. This next game we both are on, West Virginia going to Texas. This is kind of similar to last week in a way. West Virginia is getting 2 points on the road at Texas. Tom Herman's not a great favorite usually with Texas, but more importantly, West Virginia, I think, is a better team.
Yep.
I mean, you look on paper, the S&P plus just overall, West Virginia 16. I mean, Texas is all the way down at 42. To me, that's a straightforward pick. They're getting points. Will Grier is a great quarterback. Texas can play some defense, but I think that they're going to score a lot of points in this one.
Yeah, I agree completely. Another handicap here, similar to the last game, in West Virginia's explosive offense. And if you look at Texas' explosiveness on defense ranking, it's near the bottom at 91st. combine that with the fact that West Virginia comes off of a Thursday night game from last week.
Extra time.
They'll have some extra time to prepare, and I think they'll come in here and easily beat Texas. Take the 2 points, fade Texas as a favorite. Easy. Lock it up.
There you go. I might look at the money line in that one then. Okay.
There you go.
All right, another one of an obscure one here. Not obscure, but Tennessee, who's hosting Charlotte. Charlotte is getting 21 points. We know Tennessee hasn't been that great. And the under at 47.5 is your pick. Why do you think that?
Yeah, this just jumped out at me when looking at these two numbers. Charlotte plus 21 and a total of 47.5. Tennessee is no team that should be laying 21 points to anyone.
Agreed.
Charlotte is ranked very low. I'll give you that. 118th in S&P Plus. Mm-hmm. But 2 weeks ago, they had a decent showing against a good Middle Tennessee State team. Mm-hmm. And I think they're improving. They boast a semi-competent rush defense, and Tennessee likes to run the ball. So I think that this game is going to go under that 47.5. And okay. If you're looking at that as a handicap, then you have to take the 21 points as well.
Yeah,
so I'll be on both of those.
Under 47, sure. All right, last obscure game, Toledo. They are 18-point favorites against Ball State. Ball State's quarterback, Riley Neal, he left Ohio game with a knee injury, is unlikely to play. So is that why you like Toledo?
Yeah, that's most part of the handicap here. This is a Wednesday night game, so make sure you get your pick in early.
Yeah, for sure.
We like Friday night action on here, but how about Wednesday?
Wednesday, sure.
Toledo is just a far better team, and 18 points is really close to where S&P Plus has this game, and I think they'll easily be able to cover that number.
Okay, great. Well, I'll pick more of an obscure one, too. I know you like this one, too. The Utah State Aggies, one of our darlings, are at Hawaii. So at the very, very late game, I think that kicks off locally here at almost midnight. Mm-hmm. The Aggies have just been a cover machine, and I just like them against this team in Hawaii. I'll lay those 18 points and take Utah State.
That could be a get-right spot. If we lose all of our money during the day, we can lay it on Utah State.
That's right. It's a get-out game, as they say. And then lastly, we're picking this Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia, okay. Kentucky, we can save.
Okay, we'll save that for later. So, all right, let's review the BCS standings as of just a few minutes ago. When you guys hear this, it'll be a couple days old. But you got Bama at number one, no surprise there. Clemson at two, not a surprise at all. But LSU is at three with Notre Dame, Michigan, and then Georgia. Any of those stand out for right now?
Well, I think it's interesting that both LSU and Bama were in the top four. Mm-hmm. I believe that the playoff committee probably did that on purpose. Right. As we know, the big game this weekend coming up between Bama and LSU, where LSU is currently a 14 or 14.5 point underdog.
That's right. I mean, we both like those points. We hope that the points will go even further. I think you already bet it at 14.5.
I did.
Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting on that to see if it'll get up even higher than that. I do like LSU at that number. I do think Bama's going to win the game, but your roommate's going to the game, isn't he?
Yeah, Rob will be there in the stands.
That's awesome. So yeah, you're right. That's almost like an elimination game, or at least a setup for the BCS on that. As we scroll down, you see Oklahoma at 7, Washington State, the Cougs at 8, Kentucky at 9, Ohio State at 10, Florida at 11, Central Florida at 12, West Virginia at 13, Penn State, really, at 14, and Utah at 15. We know that Utah team's pretty good. I'm surprised Penn State's so high. And we also have that Georgia-Kentucky matchup, which is almost another kind of elimination situation as well.
Yeah, basically two SEC semifinal games this weekend.
Right.
Be good.
And eventually you'll get that Michigan-Ohio State matchup at the end. So it'll kind of work its way out. The biggest thing we were talking about before the pod is Notre Dame sitting at 4. Unless they stub their toe, I mean, they're at Northwestern this week. They'll play USC. It's hard to see them falling out of the top 4.
Yeah, even with a loss, I think that Notre Dame may stick in there. So some of these other teams outside of the top 4 will be looking for them to lose twice, which is probably a long shot.
Yeah, it is for sure. All right, let's move on to the NFL. Per usual, we'll go over our top 5 teams for the net yards per play and the bottom 5. So it looks like you have a new team at the top, the LA Chargers at 1.1. Mm-hmm. They surpassed the Rams at 0.9. Pittsburgh's up there at 0.8. Green Bay at 0.7. Kansas City and Houston at 0.6. There's a couple changes up there.
Yeah, I was interested to see the Chargers jump all of these teams to take the top spot, and that just goes to show you how their defense is improving to go along with that good offense.
Absolutely. I think Houston also jumping up is kind of noteworthy because they have been playing much better. Their defense is improving, and obviously Watson getting a little bit healthier. He played well. Green Bay had a really good game against the Rams, so it's no surprise they're up there as well. The bottom five teams, this is like a broken record. Buffalo is actually, you know, minus 1.1. I think they might have jumped Arizona this time. Mm-hmm. Arizona minus 1. Oakland minus 0.8. Tennessee, again, minus 0.7. And Cleveland minus 0.7. Cleveland's really struggled, and we'll talk about that in a minute. They've had some changes. And then if we look at my index, it's not that much different than it was last week. In fact, it's exactly the same. I still have the Rams at number one, the Bears at number two, Ravens, despite two losses, at number three, Chargers at four, Seahawks at five, and then Kansas City sixth. What I was going to note is that I've been trying to chart, like, how could I do, you know, use this index, and last week was really a good week. That 71% of the teams in the top half would have won the game straight up, and 64% covered against the spread. So
wow.
Hopefully that'll continue, and I'll still get to win in my pools and in my bets. I've been doing much better using the index.
Well, we're halfway through the season, so plenty of time for you to come back. And if you can continue at 64%, I'd say we're both going to be rich at the end of this.
Let's try it. Let's do it. Duffel bag boy, let's get the call. So let's talk about what happened over the weekend and even, I guess, yesterday. The Browns fire Hugh Jackson and offensive coordinator Todd Haley on Monday. This was a very interesting turn of events. For me, it's not surprising Jackson was fired. I am a little surprised that they fired Haley.
Yeah, I heard a report somewhere that the owner, Jimmy Haslam, went to each guy individually and asked them, what do we need to do to turn this around? And they each said, well, you should fire the other guy, Jackson or Haley. Oh, and so Haslam said, well, I agree with you both. You're both fired.
I guess it's good to kind of do a clean house, although they keep the defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, who's taken over as interim. Definitely going to be a new coach. We'll talk about those odds later. And then they got Kansas City coming to town, so good luck with that.
Yeah, they're 8-point underdogs right now. It's even stretched out to 9 at this point, and it could get ugly on Sunday.
It could. We had a key injury with Houston. Will Fuller tore his ACL on Thursday night. He's kind of the safety blanket for Deshaun Watson. Kiki Kuti could, you know, he has a hamstring issue. And what do? Houston goes out and they trade for Demaryius Thomas from Denver.
Yeah, a fourth round pick for Demaryius Thomas really makes that Dallas Amari Cooper trade look like dog crap.
Yeah, I mean, that was a stupid thing. Let's talk about some other trades later as well. As we roll into it, there was other trades. As we talked about, Golden Tate, receiver from Detroit, goes to the Eagles for a third rounder. Again, overpaid for Amari Cooper. That should really help their receiving core. Ty Montgomery, the running back who fumbled on that big play and was disgruntled, is going to the Ravens. And then Dante Fowler, the former first-round pick, first overall, I believe, for the Jags, he's going to the Rams. So that's another upgrade for that defense. I mean, how many upgrades do they need? We also heard about one other trade, right? Clinton Dix, right, from Green Bay. I think he's going to Washington, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of activity in the NFL.
Yeah, more trades today and in the last week than I can remember in past seasons with the NFL here.
Yeah, it's incredible. Maybe a couple of things happening. People are using metrics with the draft or something, and definitely trying to win now teams, which that never happens. That happens in baseball all the time, so it's exciting. You also noted Bengals defensive end Carl Lawson tore his ACL. He's out for the season. He already said that their defense was bad.
And now it's going to be worse.
No doubt. The 27th ranked in DVOA, so you look at them to get even worse. The Bears did. I saw that guard Kyle Long was carted off the field with a right foot injury. I haven't heard any updates on that. Hopefully he's okay.
Before we jumped on here, I saw a report that showed 6 to 8 weeks for Kyle Long. So not helpful for Mitch Trubisky and the gang.
That's pretty much the rest of the season. So unless he comes back for the playoffs, if they can make it. And then you noted Big Ben. Yeah, he did have an injury on his left index finger. I don't think that'll stop him, but, you know, it's something to know because he's getting up there.
Yeah, historically, he plays through lots of injuries, so I don't think this one will slow him down either.
Yeah, he's kind of insane. But so what spots are you looking at the NFL this week?
First one I picked out when the totals came out the other day was Tennessee and Dallas under. Both of these teams play pretty stout defense and are playing in low-scoring games. And right now it sits at 41. I would jump on it, although slightly missed that key number of 42. Still worth the play in my book at 41. Nice. How about you?
Well, I like the Packers. The Packers, this is a marquee game. They're going to play on Sunday night against the Patriots. To me, the Patriots are obviously improving. They're looking much better on both sides of the ball. But the Packers getting 6 or 6.5. I'm going to take those points with Aaron Rodgers. In my index, they're much closer. The Patriots are better, but that's a big number for them to cover. The other one that I know we're going to talk about that later, I guess, the Rams and the Saints. We'll put that for the head-to-head. And then also we've kind of noted that the Texans at Denver, there's been some line movement with this trade with Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, this morning I was writing up here showing that there was some reverse line movement. The game opened at a pick earlier this week and was bet out to Denver -2.5.
Interesting.
Strangely, which turns out may be a little bit of a dummy move because I don't know if it was Demaryius Thomas being traded or the pros coming back and hammering the Texans, but as of this recording, it's back down to a pick 'em. So Lions been all over the place, but I think we both agree the Texans are the play here.
Yeah, Texans are a better team. And I mean, losing Demaryius Thomas, I don't think is that influential on this game, to be honest with you. I know they're doing it for two reasons. The Texans need the receiver, but Denver's trying to clear the way for Cortland Sutton, the rookie. But Houston's better than this team, so I definitely want the Texans regardless.
The other thing worth noting is how quietly that Texans defense has really been improving in the metrics the last few weeks. Currently, they're up to the 5th ranked spot in DVOA and 1st in rush defense. And I think we both know that Denver Broncos offense is centered around Phillip Lindsay and the running game. And I think that Houston Texans are going to slow them down this weekend.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the other thing is Denver turns the ball over a tremendous amount. And Houston is forcing some turnovers, so I think it's just going to be a clash, and it's not going to look good for Denver. The other game that we've noted here is the Falcons are going to Washington. They're getting 2 points. Why do you like that situation?
I just think that the Falcons are the better team, and this one should really be more of a pick 'em. I know that the Falcons are getting short number here of +2, but I was eyeballing them as a teaser leg this week.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to be pairing them up in a couple of teasers with the Chiefs, getting them down to a field goal at -3, and also be looking at the Bears in a few teasers too to get them down to that -3 with the news that Nathan Peterman's going to be starting.
Unbelievable. They took it off the board at most places, right? Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what that line's going to be. I don't know if I agree with the Atlanta. I like Atlanta. You know, early in the season, I told you I like them in the playoffs. They are improving. Washington's an interesting team, though. They can run the football with Adrian Peterson. Their defense is surprisingly good. We'll see. This will be a clash. My index says Washington, so
okay.
So we'll see what happens when we.
Does your index account for the 8 points, though?
No, it doesn't. Okay. It doesn't. They're definitely liking it at 2 points for sure. So good teaser. All right, for the Survivor segment, we identified two games. I think the Kansas City at Cleveland seems like a lock, but
agreed.
Maybe you've already used the Chiefs. Carolina at home against Tampa at 6.5 seems like a good pick too.
Yeah, this Carolina team is playing really well at home and quietly have an incredible home field advantage there in Charlotte.
Yeah, they're just keeping pace with the Saints. They're only a game back, 5-2. Cam's playing great, so we'll see what happens. They actually involved DJ Moore this week for once, so that's great. All right, well, let's get to our head-to-head picks, and we like to pick some games that are marquee. We've got the first one, Georgia, Kentucky. We talked about this. This is the SEC East on the line. Kentucky's getting 9.5 points at home. What say you, Action?
I'm going to be on Georgia again here. Just after watching that Kentucky game last weekend, I was very unimpressed. And I know that they have a legitimate defense and may be able to slow down the dogs. But I think that Georgia is clicking on all cylinders right now. And I expect them to cover this 9.5 points.
Yeah, I think Georgia's a better team. I do think they're better. They'll probably win the game. Kentucky, their style is conducive to lower scoring games. I have a hard time seeing them getting blown out. And not to say 9.5 is a blowout, but it's a lot of points for a Kentucky game. So I'm very comfortable with this 9.5. If it was 6.5 or something like that, I would be a little bit leery. But I think they can keep it within 10. All right, the next game is Stanford at Washington. Washington was one of the teams I liked in the Final Four, and they're not going to make it. They lost again. They are favored by 10 points at home. What's the on this one, Action?
I'm going to take Washington here. My handicap in Stanford games all year has been the same. I'm looking for teams that have a good secondary who can guard against that Stanford passing offense.
Okay.
And Washington fits the bill. They're really the strength of their football team is those safeties and cornerbacks. And I think they'll be able to bottle up Arcega-Whiteside and that passing offense.
Yeah, Stanford's had a rough year. They keep losing tough games, especially at home. Now they're going to go on the road. It's going to be a tough game for them. The thing I look at is Washington hasn't covered a lot of spreads this year. So this 10 points seems big. And so, again, I'm kind of going with the same narrative. Washington should win the game, and Stanford, they're just going to keep it close enough for me to get the win.
Yeah, S&P Plus had this one closer to 16, too. Oof. So that was another angle I took here.
Good angle. Good angle. Maybe cut into that 7-pick lead. All right, let's go to the NFL. We've got one of the big marquee games in the AFC North. Pittsburgh's going to Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 3 points. I'm going to take Baltimore. I'm following my index. Not feeling great about it because the Steelers are playing better. What would you say about that one, Action?
I'm going to take the Steelers here. This is a huge game for Pittsburgh as well as Baltimore, granted. But these games are always close, as we know, and I'll take the field goal with the underdog, Pittsburgh Steelers, hoping that they can somehow get within that number or even win the game.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh has to win the game. There's no doubt that they want to win the division. Baltimore would have a, you know, basically a two-game lead effectively, even though they're closer in record, winning both games. Baltimore just lost two in a row. I can't see them losing a third, but we'll see. It should be a great game on Sunday. The last one is probably the game of the day. Let's hope it. We already talked about the Packers-Patriots. That could be a great one. But the late afternoon game is the LA Rams undefeated going to the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are now favored by 1.5. What do you like, Action?
I'm going to take the Saints at home this week. I think the Superdome is going to be rocking on Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And this defense has really improved. We talked about it last week. They held those Vikings in check. And even though Eli Apple did get beat a few times deep last week, I think that he's going to have another game under his belt. And the Saints defense can really kind of keep those receivers under wraps. I know that Todd Gurley has been like a man on fire this year, and I expect that he'll get his, but Drew Brees and that Saints offense is certainly capable of hanging in this game too.
Should be a great game. This is probably the NFC Championship preview. Let's hope anyway. Two great teams. To me, yeah, this is the game that the Rams could lose for sure on their schedule. I just think they're the better team. I know that they've been flirting with a couple teams lately where they could lose and they pulled it out. They're getting Cooper Kupp back this week, I understand. Mm-hmm. The Rams have so many weapons. I don't know. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm just going to take any point I can with this Rams team. I think they're the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, McVay is certainly a coach that's on the ascendancy, as we know. But I think that he's finally come up against his match here in Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have quite the edge that he has had in the last few weeks. And Sean Payton should have some tricks up his sleeve.
I'm sure he will. Everybody should be checking that one out. All right. Well, let's transition a little bit. We're going to do the Breeders' Cup discussion now. We couldn't get Optimus Prime on here to give us his surefire pick, so I'm going to do my best to give you some information. Just so you know, the Breeders' Cup's been around since 1984. Everybody knows about the Triple Crown. This is kind of the next big one after the Triple Crown races of the year. They do 14 races over 2 days. The two-year-olds run on Friday with 5 races, and then 9 races are on Saturday. I got some information where the favorites have won 97 of the 305 races. That's 33%. The big race that we want to talk about today is the Classic race, which is the last race that'll be run on Saturday at 5:44 Eastern, 4:44 Central. It's a $6 million purse, and this year it's run at Churchill Downs. It'll be on NBC. The race is 1.25 miles. There's usually 14 starters, and they're all 3-year-olds and over. So I'll just go over a couple of the favorites. The big favorite this year is in the 14 hole, that's Accelerate. And the trainer Sadler has actually never had a horse win at the Breeders' Cup. The odds on that horse are 5-2. So obviously that's the shortest odds you got out there. Another one that's, you know, the Baffert, Bob Baffert is a great trainer, wins tons of Kentucky Derbies and everything. He's got 2 big-time horses in this race. The 6-horse McKinsey and the 7-horse West Coast. West Coast is at 5-1, and McKinsey's at 6-1. There's also a 6-1 known as Mind Your Biscuits. That sounds like a nice name. But some, and then there's another one, a Catholic boy. I'm technically a Catholic boy, is coming in 8-1. So those are some of your favorites. One of the horses I've read about that everybody's talking up is in the 8 horse. That's Pavel, ridden by Mario Gutierrez. He's 20-1. I've been told that he should be included in all your exotic bets. So I'm not sure if you're too familiar with horse racing. Do you, have you bet that much?
I've bet a few exotics. Do you want to fill us in on what those are exactly?
Sure. So essentially, you know, when you're doing a horse race, the standard bets are a bet to win, which is first place, a bet to place, second place, and a bet to show, third place. So usually the exotics are basically doing what's either like a perfecta, which is 2, or a trifecta, which is all 3, or a superfecta, which is the first 4 horses. So there's a couple ways to do it. You can basically put those 3 horses in order, and if you get it right, you're going to get a good payout for your money. Or you can do kind of what they call boxing, which kind of basically gives any of those 3 horses or 4 horses in a superfecta box in any of those order, in any of the order that they can come in. It's going to cost you more money. It's like a multiplier. But at least if 4 horses come in the top 4, regardless of order, then you're going to win a good payout. You know, I know at the Derby, superfectas and trifectas can pay a $5 bet can be upwards of $500 to $1,500. You know, it's a good payout. Superfectas can go into the tens of thousands. So it depends on how you do it. So that's essentially what you can do. You can also, there's wheels. There's a lot of other ways you can do it. But if you stick to basic horse racing, you can kind of box trifectas and superfectas to win.
And there's also an option for exactas, correct?
Correct.
For 2 horses?
That's right. The 2 horse exacta. That's right. I probably glazed over that. But yeah, the 2 horse exactas is a way that, especially if you know that there's 2 clear favorites, that's a good way to go as well.
Yeah, the Breeders' Cup is really kind of like the showcase event for horse racing here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And even more so than your Kentucky Derby weekend or the Preakness or the Belmont, there's a lot of races that go down between Friday and Saturday afternoon. And there's some value to be had even in the other races outside of the Classic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge event. It's a couple days long. I know that our guy Artemis Prime last year went to Del Mar and San Diego and won some good money. It's just a fun time. I mean, horse racing can be very exciting, but it's almost like a all-star showing of horses, because these horses that are over 3 years old, they could be horses that ran in the Derby 2-3 years ago and still be running. So it's a little bit harder to handicap in some ways.
So do you have a pick?
Yeah, I think what I'll probably do, I'm actually going to fade Accelerate because of the trainer issue in the 5-2. Mm-hmm. It's not an exciting bet. I would probably put a box trifecta on the 2 Baffert horses, the 6 and 7, and then the 8 with Pavel because of the 20-1 and everybody's talking him up. That's how I would approach it. Maybe I'd throw in Mind Your Biscuits because I like that name for just kind of a, you know, maybe across the board kind of bet, win, play, okay. Show.
No love for the Catholic boy?
Not this time. I'm trying to get out of that. How about you? You think I'll make a bet?
You know, I haven't looked at this enough to put in my 2 cents, but I certainly will be looking it over this week.
Yeah, if Prime actually comes through and gives us some information before Saturday, I'll definitely put that out on the web, on the Twitter page, or, you know, our Twitter post. So hopefully we can all win some money and celebrate, you know, together.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's talk about this Cleveland Browns search. And it's already begun, I guess. There's already some futures on who the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns would be. You want to go over these odds?
Yeah. Interesting list here. Sean McVay is the favorite, plus 200. Lincoln Riley's in there at 225. Mm-hmm. Zach Taylor at 550. The hot name, John DeFilippo at 650. Dan Campbell at 750. Dave Tobe, the former Bears special teams coordinator at 800. Right. Jim Harbaugh from Michigan at 1200. And the most intriguing name on the list, Bill Belichick at 2000.
So you got to tell me about this Belichick
20-1.
Yeah, about this Belichick thing. I mean, what's the theory there?
Well, Belichick has obviously overachieved in New England and could go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Probably.
But he's also tied to Tom Brady.
That's true.
So the theory that I've heard in other media outlets is that he may have interest in going back to his previous employer, the Cleveland Browns, to disconnect his legacy from Tom Brady and lead the Browns into glory.
Well, and he also was the former coach of the Browns, was fired by them, different administration. Well, I can see that, but can't he just wait like another year or two and have Tom Brady retire and he could do the same thing in New England?
Tom Brady will play forever.
He's a cyborg. Well, that's an interesting theory. I don't see that happening, but I guess that's why it's good action here. Sean McVay strikes me as funny, too. Is he going to leave the Rams and coach the Browns? I mean, he's got a good thing going. I guess if he wins the Super Bowl, he can see if he can win somewhere else as well.
Yeah, this is very bizarre. Obviously, when these novelty bets come up online, they have very low limits, so I don't know how serious all of this is, but to have Sean McVay leading the odds here on the Cleveland Browns' next head coach is strange.
I mean, Lincoln Riley makes sense. He basically coached him in Oklahoma, so that makes a lot of sense that gets Baker Mayfield. I do think the next coach is going to be an offensive mind, you know, like DeFilippo or Riley. Tolbe is a good candidate. We've, you know, I don't know if you follow this. I follow this every year. There's usually 7-8 openings in the NFL every year, and I track it, and Tolbe is always up for jobs, but he never wins out. I guess he's a great interview, and he's a great guy, but we'll see. Maybe they'll give him a chance.
Yeah, this will be interesting to see where it goes. I certainly am not going to be betting on it. Just thought it was something to discuss.
Yeah, you don't want to tie up your money for 3 months or something on that. All right, well, let's go to our last topic, and let's review the MLS. Is it playoff time? Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, this past Sunday was the final week of the regular season, and there was tons of drama for the final couple of playoff spots. Ultimately, the dust settled, and the New York Red Bulls took home the Supporters' Shield, which is the best record in the league.
Okay.
And they set a record for a total number of season points at 71.
Okay.
They're opening as the co-favorites to lift the trophy at plus 300, along with Atlanta United, which we talked about earlier in the pod, as the high-scoring Joseph Martinez, set a league record 31 goals this year.
That's awesome.
Those two teams get the byes in the East, and one of them is likely going to win this championship.
Okay.
Behind that, you've got Los Angeles FC at plus 1,000, New York City FC at plus 1,000, Sporting KC at 1,000, Dallas 1,100, and Seattle at 1,400 on the West. You'll see that all the West Coast teams have super low odds, which kind of gives you an indication that one of these two Eastern teams will win the trophy.
Now, is it set up in conferences? I don't know anything about it. So is there two conferences or something?
Yep, spot on. So it's set up like the NFL playoffs. Mm-hmm. Six teams in each side, and four teams play a play-in game to get to the conference quarterfinals.
Okay.
The league quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. And then once those quarterfinals are done, they go to the semifinals. And the semifinal format is a two-game playoff where they have a home and home.
Okay.
And the aggregate score wins and goes to the final game.
Interesting. Okay.
Then the final itself is one game for all the marbles.
All the marbles. Do you also see some opportunities to bet, I don't know, like totals or something with those two games or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Much like any other sport in the playoffs, the games get a lot more tight. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be looking at totals that are probably in the 2.5, some games in the 3 range.
Okay.
And I'll be looking at targeting some unders here and there depending on the game setup.
Interesting. So it looks like the team out of the East is going to win it, essentially, unless LA can come in because they're the third one on the list.
Yeah, it definitely is set up for LA or Seattle to come out of the West, mm-hmm. and either of those teams would be huge underdogs in the championship. The place I'm looking here is the New York Red Bulls. Mm-hmm. They've been hot lately. They haven't lost since early September.
Oh, okay.
And Atlanta has actually been fading down the stretch and are not good form right now. So it's likely going to be Atlanta and New York in the conference semifinals. You have a chance to hedge a little bit on Atlanta in that game likely. And then New York Red Bulls will likely lift the trophy.
Okay. Sounds good. There you have it, guys. The last topic we'll just briefly touch on is college hoops actually starts a week from today, officially. And we'll be doing the pod that night. But there are two great games on the slate. And they always do that. The kickoffs are really exciting. So we won't be able to go over that at the moment. but we can kind of have a more detailed discussion about the college basketball preview next week.
Yeah, I did see somewhere online that Caesars Palace actually has a couple of early lines on those games next week. The marquee matchups, Kansas is a 5-point favorite over Michigan State, and Duke and Kentucky opened at a pick'em. These games are going to be played in Indianapolis at Bankers Life Fieldhouse next Tuesday night.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, all I know is I've been seeing so many videos of this Zion Williamson from Duke. I mean, I don't think Duke's ever had a guy like that before who's just complete beast and athletic as all get out. So that'll be exciting because Kentucky usually brings some athleticism as well. But, you know, I love Sparty. I'm a huge Michigan State Izzo guy. So they usually in that first game get beat, but then over the course of the season get better. I love college basketball.
Me too. It's like Christmas for me. I was actually watching Duke and Zion play on Saturday in their first exhibition game.
Okay.
And they were up about 45 points with 8 minutes to go. And he's down in the stands guarding the point guard at half court, strips the ball, and it goes into the backcourt. And he races the point guard down and belly slides a good 15 feet to dive after this loose ball. It was amazing.
I love a guy like that, man, who can hustle and actually get after it on defense. Man, this is going to be a fun college season.
Absolutely. I can't wait to talk about it next week.
All right. With that, we end our 10th episode. Thank you for everybody following us and listening to us on Side Action Podcast. You can follow the pod at Side Action Pod. You can follow me personally at Wegspool on Twitter.
You can follow me personally at 31SRoberts.
Definitely check out the tweets that we put out. Action always puts out big tweets for bets. Can be halftime totals, could be halftime lines. He's been red hot. We've been really good on the, especially in college basketball, on the picks. So check it out.
College football.
That's right. College football. Did I say basketball? Oh, sorry. But yeah, man, it's been great. So follow us and check us out, and hopefully we'll expand this following.
Yeah, we really appreciate all your listening and really ask you guys to get out there and do some secondhand marketing for us. The one way that we can continue to grow this pod is by you telling your friends and family and other gamblers in your life, or would-be gamblers.
That's right.
About the podcast. The more interaction we can get with you guys, the listeners, is just going to make this go even better than it has been.
Absolutely.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.